to see she was. That's why he had to wait. If he poured his heart into a glass and offered it like wine, she could drink and be back in time with the morning paper.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And beautiful day as always here in paradise. And that was Mr. Prince. Some people say they're the king of pop, king of rock, king of country. He's a prince of soul. So anyway, I'll never forget him because I grew up on that music, and there's Michael Jackson, and you know the game. That backdrop, that good music, wherever you are. You could be in a sewer and turn it on and you feel good. It's something about his music was just so soulful, and way back when he first come about and popped up, multiple instruments being played and all, and you gravitate to that music. And we're going to play a bit more later on, but got quite a bit to talk about. And you can join me if you like, 524-1080, and I'm going to talk about the rail a bit. And I want to also share with you something we've been looking into on the bottle bill. And it's coming together. And I think all of you out there probably be interested in this one. If you are a member of Costco, you would surely. And it pays to listen to today's show, honestly. And I won't delay that. And then later on, we're going to talk. Our bureaucrats are just simply ignorant cave people. And that's not to be demeaning of the cave people, but I really believe we got the most ignorant people in government. They think that they can treat a person like myself and be disrespectful toward me and not afford me my rights and think I'm going to go away. I don't know how else to put it just to say they're dumb. Just dumb. Because, you know, an educated person would know that there's consequences when you reject people and when you don't respect them and when they know or feel they're entitled to something, you really gonna have a fight. And so, you know why the rail is so badly. We got ignorant people that are running it. Yes, they got voted in, and yes, they were pansies for Senator Dan Inouye and water boys and water girls or whatever it was. And yes, he brought home the bacon, but you're having to pay for the whole hog. And that's what's wrong here. And you know, we talk about I'm nauseated, and I don't take nothing personal. Pretty much, usually just, you know, water on the duck's back. But I hear these comments like, Colleen Hanabusa, if she pulled this one off, she's going to be governor. Or she can write her meal ticket. Really? Well, that's funny. She's been around for some while. She's a prodigy of Daniel Inouye and that clique. And remember, Caldwell had some affiliations with Danny Inouye. So, and I don't recall any vetting or any public outreach on appointing Hanabusa. Did we look and search, and how did she get to be? And by the way, she's been on the board for a while, some while, and you know, she had some masterful strategies that bailed out the city council who were in violation of ethics. But they, of course, I'm misspeaking, because the ruling is they were not unethical. But in my mind, in my opinion, they are all unethical, and this whole rail is unethical and unacceptable. But it's okay. But to find our way back and be fascinated with the fact that if Hanabusa pulled this one off, well, there's Robert Bunda, who was a state senator and Senate head, and he was appointed, and things were happening. Where was his outcry? What were the Don Horner? He was out there, and they had to ask him to step down. Where was his outcry? So, Hawaii, Honolulu, taxpayers, my friends, my enemies, my strangers, or people that might see me later and become familiar with me, whoever you are, this rail speaks of many problems. You know, it's not about the train. It's about how they have us trained. And I have seen, I can't get my dog to behave in a more honorable way than that, the way they have tricked the public. They tell us, Hanabusa is going to pull it off. She's going to pull it off. And pull what off? We're already up to our necks in alligators and costs and, you know, payments to the engineering firms and all of that, and she's going to pull it off? Okay. So my hat's off to you. If you vote for her, then just know that she's going to probably feel that she can build a submarine base in your backyard, whatever, because you're fascinated with that kind of lame brain thinking. This rail is no good. It's going to destroy the economics, the economy here as we know it. It's going to go on for many years. See, it's not going to resolve itself right now, even if she made a good decision. You still have 4, 5, 6 years. And how many companies and business will be impacted? How many private lives or personal lives or families will be destroyed based on this construction and this interest to have TODs and what have you? So we're going to talk about that later in this 42-inch main, and we'll talk about the Costco. And I see someone call already. We'll call a good morning. Thank you for calling.
Well, I was going to talk about the rail, but I'll call back later.
No, go ahead.
Well, what you were talking about, authoritative power is a demagogic cocoon. They frame the argument, hard is the power, not the demagogic cocoons. They're bought. I have both the original audit, and I have Hart board executive session, and the auditor was disappointed by the Hart response to the audit. They had 5 weeks to reply. They received information, etc., etc. Not going to go through it. Let me go on to the Hart board. Dr. Anthony called the audit a sloppy, cotton-faced lie. It's a collective responsibility of the board to support Horner. Horner was both CFO and CEO, and he was the power behind it all. Formby took exception to what happened before and said
When you say he was behind it all, what was he, you mean Horner, what was he behind?
Well, they would always defer to him for any significant policy that was going to be enacted by the Hart board.
So the Hart board would defer to Horner?
Yes,
okay. So what then, where was Hanabusa in the later stages of this? Where was
Hanabusa
at?
Became, I forget the title, but she came on later, and she was the first, I listened to it live, the power source going down Dillingham Nimitz, whatever it might have been with the pipes and so forth. She raised the argument or the proposal and or whatever, that this was going to be an excessive cost because of overhead going subterranean. She was the first one to bring that up before the council, before the Hart board, but she was not on the Hart board from the beginning. She also raised reservations about the financial costs that were not disclosed before she had, and even after she had become on the board.
Mm-hmm. Now, then she did all of that. At some point, she was a congresswoman, right?
Yes, she was before.
What was her support and stance on this rail?
She was probably for the rail. Mm-hmm. However, she did, because of what you just said, understood the project going back in time.
Right. So should we be as understanding and forgiving and look at her as being the person, as my friend described, in this white robe with a big stick and walking around and claiming success? Or what is it that we should be so excited about her presence in her new name position, when in fact the place is going up in dollars? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't have the answer. I have hope. From what she says and what she can or will do, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I hope that she is going to be influential. Why wasn't she there from the beginning?
She's been there as a congressperson. She's been there supporting it. She's been there hustling money, contacting the federals and what have you.
Yes.
So it's not like she's a newcomer. So what's your opinion of this mindset and this suggestion that if she pulls this one off, she can really do something? I mean, the project sucks anyway, and it's a bad project when you look at the cost. So pulling it off, we're going to still be stuck. If she pulls it off, completes the rail, it's still going to cost us maybe, probably, the way things are looking, $10 billion in stopping at Miller Street. What is that something that we should be thankful for her and predicting that?
What they need is repackaging, reappropriation of money. Can she do that? They need a refresher budget. Can they do that? They have to have it before June 30th. They need value engineering, the scope of the project, and marketing, all uncertainty. Can she solve that problem? Mm-hmm. Let me give you a direct quote from Ivan Kwan. The reasons why there is the problem. It's an immense project, most complex in the history of the state. Like taking
really
a
fire
hydrant.
That's what Ivan Louis Kwan said. What about the corruption? It's how about that element? How about
corruption.
Naming? How about the fact that the composition of the board was just an effort squandered by the people that appointed the board? How about that?
Of course.
Right. I mean, you know, so just I read Ivan Louis Kwan's comments and assessment. But we play with words, and we're stuck with a concrete $10 billion, and I use that term $10 billion because they can't tell you if it's going to be $100 billion.
Okay, they had bill number 23, and on this during this conversation, it was brought up that bill 23 went before the city council and passed before the public,
mm-hmm.
was not accurate. There are no real numbers. The railroad it through the public.
And then your key word is that, who was it that wrote that bill? The city council.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So we still got the snakes in the grass, and then the head snake now comes along, and we're saying, well, you know, if she pulls this one off, she won't be a viper.
Well, Caldwell could be the CEO of Hart, and Horner could be the mayor. There is no separation between the two. So when you say railroad, they're both responsible.
Exactly. And so what I'm trying to, from my approach, is to say, hey, folk, listen up. You've got nothing new, and whatever, however they paint it, patch it up, serve it up, put ribbons on it, you can put whoever, the nicest person on the planet, you're still stuck with a rail that's going to cost you amount of money that we can afford it.
And here's one of the most important segments to it all. It's going to go to the airport. What will that cost? It's going to go from the airport to the city center. What will that cost? What cost to the city center will be the overcost to the airport? They're going to use that as a figure to determine how far they can go to the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
The best and final offer, high, low, worst case, they mm-hmm. don't know.
Right.
And they need realistic figures. Now, this is from the Hart board. I'm not making this up. And one of the things that original audit was concerned about is the intimidation of the whole process by the Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That they felt as if they were in an attempt to intimidate them in terms of how they gave the audit.
So we have this rail, and we have this army of people. Many of them were appointed secretaries. I think Mufi Hanneman even took his secretary and hired her. And then, I mean, he hired Bill Brennan and all of that. So when you look at it, how it was the composition of board and its employees and all of that was suggestive that there was some hanky-panky going on anyway. So you put your friends in, and then 5 years later, we're still debating and looking for a hero amongst the zeros?
Well, the panel that was picked that came in independently to vote for Steel Wheel on Steel Rail met on Friday, Monday, holiday, met Wednesday. Final decision for Steel Wheel on Steel Rail on Friday of that week. And then they met in Murphy's office. They had Murphy's staff. They used Murphy's equipment. And now they even refer, Hartboard often refers to Parsons, Brinkerhoff, just recently, because they were the ones that enacted all of this, along with Infra Consult, mm-hmm. Kiewit, and all the rest.
Yeah, well, you know, regarding this 42-inch main, some of you may have seen the story. We talked about it last week. But the entire city is, I'll say, infested with wrongdoers and people that simply are self-serving and serving their companies in their interest and not the public's interest. And unless we, if Hanabusa were to go in and clean out and then step down herself on when she cleaned the office out with all the bugs and thugs, then she politely leave it herself and then relinquish the whole thing over to some people that are willing and has ability and has integrity to do it. Unless that happens, you know, she might be making herself a governor, you know, preparing to become governor. But, ladies and gentlemen, you're all still stuck with the rail.
Well, it's I have confidence in her up until today, because she has helped the handyman in the past.
Well, good. I mean, I'm do good lawn work and prune trees and all that, and make sure the car is parked there right. But I can't cook worth a damn.
Well, given the ways in which she can do it, and I have it all here in front of me in writing, both from the audit itself plus the quotes directly from the
Okay, so where would be the outrage then if now all of a sudden this one person comes along that has the brilliancy, this one person, and we've been dragging around in circles for the last 5 years, 6 years. Doesn't that cause you some concern?
Here's what could happen. The Hart Board now, as we speak, has to come before the City Council at the end of June, beginning of July.
Right.
And if the Hart Board comes up with realistic numbers, it's the City Council that does the financing. Mm-hmm. It's follow the money.
Hey,
and, of course...
How about the GET? I mean, was the City Council...
No, that's one of the alternatives.
Well, no. Was the City Council involved in that?
Of course, but
and then
the ones,
didn't they? Wasn't there was a debate and a discussion that well
absolutely.
we may not pass it and all.
I was there. Ellis
but what Monday happened?
And Pine and Manahan and Menorah, they all voted for it.
Right. So again, what I'm trying to say and suggest is that we have these great prayers, but they go unanswered, and then we turn around and the very people, all of them, has orchestrated an approach that it robs the people of common sense and good use of their money.
Yes.
And the contracts after contracts have already been let out. And how? Give you a little strategy that I suspect that they use. And well, if we put it up there as much as we can, the public's going to say, well, we're already up there now. But here's another one. Here we have so many contracts. And we already agreed on these contracts and let them out, so we would lose money and we'd have to pay that. You see, so in other words, we were forced and were dragging and kicking into this situation. And the very person that stood by and watched it and lulled us in, Colleen Hanabusa, now is at the helm. And then she hadn't performed anything, done anything, and we're already going, if she pulls this one off, she's going to be governor. No, how about if she pulled this off, that's the right thing to do, and she should bow out and say, well, I'm sorry that I taxed the public so harshly, and I stood by and participated in this process that got us to this point. We're stuck up to our necks in dollars, and I apologize. I'm out of your lives any longer, and I'm over here now serving cookies and baking cookies for the grandkids.
Well,
enough already.
This is what she has to do, very, very, very simply, according to the audit, minimize city subsidies.
where are they going to get their money from? Sell popsicles along the highway?
No, they're going to get it again from the public. they're talking about the fare box. They're talking about lessening the kind of... in requirements for the FTA, mm-hmm. in terms of gates along the track, in terms of other ways that the project was supposed to be conducted. So
right.
It's the money that's going to come from us again. It's money that might be because of adjustments they make in the whole project.
Yeah, you know, I think, in all sincerity, I believe they should have appointed a veterinarian to the position that they've recently appointed Hanabusa. And you know why? See, a veterinarian is good at and have learned how to feed a sick pet. medicine. He takes and put a little coating on it or something like that and feeds it to him. So we still have an illness here, and that is we're bleeding money. And unless we get insurance to fix it, meaning that we're all way down the road in debt to up to our necks, and she's going to fix it?
Well, I was July 11th, 2008, Larry Compass for Lingle. Operational costs, I want to know. Impacted community, I want to know. Land condemned, busted taxpayer, I want to know. Cultural response, timetable for the whole project, impact on the traffic, rail ridership. This is 2008. If I know that just as a citizen, how in the hell can't they know it?
Well, they do, and the point is, it was about union getting jobs, right?
Yes.
Getting hired. People making money on real estate. TODs, right? It first started off as about, it was going to be about just getting, moving people, mass transit, right?
No, it's not about that.
No. I mean, that was the initial, you know, we need a train and it's going to help.
Yes.
And, hey, some of us were for it and some of us were against it and some of us met in the middle.
Yes.
But the reality is now we've attached all of these things. And TODs and, well, let's situate it over here, the blood bank. You know, these are blood suckers, and you know why I say that? Look how they're treating the blood bank.
Exactly.
You know, and so how many people's lives are having to be destroyed or will be destroyed continually based on this rail? And we're going to give her feathers in her hat and make her look good and cry macaroni or whatever it is?
Well, it's... I also have the Boston response, about 40 pages, on his responsibility for the Boston Big Dig.
Yeah.
And he was, I have the actual document.
Yeah, you're talking about Grabowskis.
He was forced to resign.
Right.
He did accept resignation. All the same problems they had with the Boston Big Dig under Grabowskis, we are having right now.
Well, you know, again, because someone fell in one place, in a sense, we can't condemn them. I mean, they still have certain skills, and the maybe things didn't fall into place back there for him here. But he was invited here and picked, selected by whom?
By Mufi.
And who else? And was Caldwell participating in that selection?
Must have absolutely been. I don't know that to be a fact, but it must have been.
So,
along with Carlisle and Caldwell.
So, you know, this is speaking about that 42-inch main that we talked about a while back. And
yes.
So, this is taken from the KGMB Hawaii News Now. There's a quote. Honolulu Mayor Kurt Caldwell said, "Hart should be more transparent about potentially costly obstacles like utility lines. Hart officials recently disclosed potential problems with electric utilities lines, placing those overhead," right? And
yes.
What was the mayor's comments? "We all know," quote, "we all know in the largest construction project in the history," Caldwell said, "I know now that we're going to hit those kinds of things, those unknowns." Now, this is a mayor that is supposed to be on top of this, and he's referring to the 42-inch main as an unknown. And yet, later, they come back. Colleen says she never heard of it. And then Grabowskis, a day later, says, "Oh, well, yeah, we've been on top of that all along. We've been talking about that."
The Hart audit is from 2007 to 2014.
Right.
So, therefore, anybody who has any power or significance in this whole project should have known all of this.
Is culpable. And so I just can't believe, I don't know which is worse, the thought that a person that helped watch the front door and the back door and let them rob us and lead us down is now the person standing out in the front yard saying, this is a house of refuge, and we're going to ease your mind and protect your interests, and they were just appointed me. Really?
Well, just for me, I have to wait and see.
Well,
not
you
what
better.
She says. but what she does,
well,
what effect will she have on the Heart Board to enact on behalf of the people?
Yeah, so you are agreeing that she, no matter what she has not done when she was in the capacity to do something, and then now, is that the answer, the silver bullet is upon her, and now we all stand back and let this thing flow? And go ahead and let her prove herself.
No, but what I'm saying is,
let her prove herself.
I can't find. I know she must have been culpable because of the time frame.
Right.
I know what position she had before she was on the Heart Board.
Mm-hmm.
I know she was probably for the rail.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, for me, having followed it like this, she is a hope, just a hope for right now, because of the. They have tried to frame the argument, and now they are in...
And you know Bob was a hope, too, huh?
Who?
Bob.
Who was Bob?
Bob Hope.
I'm sorry, I've got to...
Well, no apologies, no apologies needed. It's just for a person that has been standing in line and trying to bang their head against the wall and understand this and... calling up and reporting the dissatisfaction and all those things that are broken, and then one of the people that have added to all the frustration that you've experienced is now have been appointed by the very team that frustrated you, and then the quote is to give hope. Not, I have no issue with that, but I just, you know.
Well,
is it a health
appointed with reservations. They joke about, I've heard Horner joke about, oh, she was the oversight committee person on the Heart Board.
Right. Well,
and I heard Horner say his in joking way that reluctant to have her as oversight person.
Well, anyway, it's just that I've heard so much and I see so much about this, and the bottom line is, we don't know how much. There's a lot of so-called planning and discussing.
Yes.
But there's nobody laying down things on the table to give us exactness. No one has quantified it. And even with the pipe, you know, we've had and been discussing this for a long time. Let me read you a couple questions that I had asked the Board of Water Supply. What areas does the water main serve? And this is Board of Water Supply's response to me. The 42-inch transmission main provides water to metropolitan Honolulu, generally defined as from Middle Street and out to Hawaii Kai. So that means Waikiki, Honolulu, Hawaii Kai, all that clear. And has the Board of Water Supply been contacted by HART to discuss the rail's impact on the water main? If yes, what was discussed? Not specifically related to the 42-inch line. Prior to the design work, we met with Hart's team and established a 10-inch clearance requirement from columns to major transmission mains. Transmission main, is that electric? It didn't say, you know. So, another question. If any, what concerns does the Board of Water Supply with the rail being placed over or near the water main? Our ability to assess and maintain our mains, as well as the damage to the rail's facilities and systems due to large main break. Has HART taken any action to obtain permission from the Board of Water Supply to remove or conduct work to avoid any negative impacts on the water main? If yes, what was or is being proposed? Through the construction drawing submittals, HART is working with us to minimize the negative impacts to our water system, while no approvals have been given for the portion of the project from Middle Street into downtown. The most recent plans included waterline relocations and or other protective measures such as concrete jacketing to try and protect the water system from the negative impact. Now, I offer those answers. Board of Water Supply is giving those, but the mayor said these are unknowns and we can't afford, basically paraphrasing, you know, having these unknowns present themselves like the 42-inch water main. Hanabusa says she knows nothing, but Board of Water Supply said they've been talking about it but hadn't approved anything. So that's like saying you want to sell your car, and yeah, I do, and you said, here's $100, but no, I wanted $10,000 for it, but you said you want to sell it. Well, it's that kind of nonsense, you know, jumping to the point. So, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Turn down your phone in the background there.
Yeah, it kind of echoes over here. But I got a question about Michael T. Burns, his consultant that the mayor hired last year in July for $95,000. Where is he? How come he's not being participating with the real? I haven't heard his name for ages. You know, that's ridiculous, paying this guy for $95,000 and he's not doing nothing for the real.
What I suspect, and the mayor can call me up if he think I'm worthy of a call, I suspect that $95 is spent for Mr. Burns running around to talk about politics and campaigning or some aspect of that, because it sure wasn't advising Don Horner.
Yeah, and concerning Colleen Hallabusa, when she was running against Brian Schatz, she said on another talk radio show, the host asked her, what happens when the contingency money runs out and there's nothing left for maintain the rail? And her quote was, oh, just raise the property tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the simplest way she could say it, raise the property tax.
Because I get my condo at a discount on Coalina, so it's not going to bother me.
Right.
You know, and I got other fancy things that happen to me as congresswoman.
Right.
Right.
All right, thanks, Colin.
All right, thank you. Yeah, folks, I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I mean to be mean-spirited. Because at some point, this jerk around, this walk around, and we're talking, all we can do is serve as spectators and then provide the money, either by volunteering it and willingly pay it, or by being punished at the tax table. So either way, I don't really know why, I should be playing some more Prince or something, because the way it's going to go is that we already appreciate somebody that has already screwed us. And then we see that they stood by. I didn't hear any declarations on the part of Colleen Hanabusa that would warrant my trust to say that she's going to step it up a notch and fix it. All I heard was, let's sequester ourselves behind the closed doors and protect the city council for taking bribes.
Well, I think, from my limited knowledge, that she has to be, regardless of what has happened in the past, she has to be given an opportunity to succeed or to fail. Secondly,
what rule of law are we talking? She has to be. This is about individualism. I say,
well, she
didn't deserve the position.
Hart's got the power.
No. I mean, when you say we have to, no, I'm saying to you, I have enough information to draw a conclusion. It's taking notice that she's not worthy based on her past performance. So now you may have to, in a sense, and not to be offensive, but you may have to give her a chance from your ilk. But I say no, hell no. That's what I say. Now, go ahead, but I just want the listeners to know that I don't agree with that. We don't have to do anything. What we have to do is come to our senses and start demanding.
Not that I'm talking to you, but you are absolutely essential because you make us all think. There is something called a contingency.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back when Gerboskis was given an evaluation. He was praised that he's been given two bonuses for his diligence in terms of the project. And they talked about contingency on contingency. This goes back years. I have the documents. Ivan Kwan and the former CEO of Hart. And they're talking about contingency on contingency right now as we speak.
Well, you are the wise man, and I call on you many occasions just to pick your brain and are we dealing with the Stockholm syndrome here? Instead, it's a Honolulu. We've been held captive for so damn long with looking at this thing spinning out of control, knowing we have crooks and bugs in the system being appointed and anointed, and in turn, are we really suffering from a mild case of Stockholm syndrome?
Absolutely, because from the beginning they have framed the argument on behalf of Hart and all the demagogues, plutocrats, etc. They framed the argument for the public.
And I offer that because remember now there was PRP in the beginning of this, right? That public relations effort and campaign, did it die or stop? There was a cessation of it or a slowdown? No. Same strategies and tactics, because you still got to nourish and nurture and guide and steer the public mindset. You just don't roll out the cost and tell them, oh, we got another cost here, ladies and gentlemen, pay up. No, they got to be manipulation.
Pacific Resource Partnership is one of the primary reasons Cayetano was not mayor.
Well, you think so?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
because their tactics, in order to ensure that, I had one person say if he were going to run again, they allow you to get 45% to 47% of the vote, and then they stop you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just concerned that we are lending ourselves and our time and thought to this kind of behavior, and when the mayor is now running campaigns, right?
Yep.
Already spending that $106 million that he has, that he's gotten bulk of it from city employees.
Yep.
And donating $1,000 here, $2,000 here. You look at those campaign spending, and every donation, pretty much every director and everything gives some money, right?
Yep.
Now, I'm told that a supervisor can't give shouldn't be accepting gifts from subordinates, right?
I don't, you know.
In the scheme of ethics. But then we're dealing with Honolulu, so we have to be careful when we refer to something as ethical.
If you're dealing with unconscionable people, I'm not sure how you deal with them except by money, by lack of promotion power. if the people don't take that away from them, they're going to do exactly what they're doing now and have done over years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to the people, but the people have to be informed. It begins with education. It begins with knowledge. If the people are deprived of education and of knowledge, they can't act.
Yeah, let me just share a continuation of these questions that I ask. If the water main is relocated, where will it be placed? How long will it take to shut the main down, relocate, and return it to service? This Board of Water Supply's answer to me. Please contact Hart for this response.
No, that's what I told you. That's how we got started. Who has the power? Hart has the power.
But whose water main is it?
Oh, gosh.
So
now I got to go sing town. I got to go get a drink.
So here, before you go, what permits will be required to remove and install or reinstall or return the main to service?
Come on.
You know the answer?
What?
Please contact Hart.
Now, you're making this up.
No, it's on. Go to our website, carolcox.com.
I'm going to try. I can't. You shouldn't have told me that.
Well, you know, a young dog can teach an old dog new tricks, too,
yeah,
you know.
When I don't know, I don't know, and I don't know when I'll know anything. I'm willing to. I am just a sponge that doesn't understand what's going on. Now you tell me that. But it's so obvious. Everything we've been talking about, it's so obvious.
Yeah, and my concerns and opinions are deep-seated and rooted on some facts and some experiences that are just not palatable. I can't bring myself to accept them and even mulling them over. It's just we've had too many instances of failure and fraud deceit. You know, and at some point. You know. So, what is the estimated cost to address the removal, relocation, or potential threats to the 42-inch main if left in place? You know what the answer is?
What?
Please contact Hart for this response.
Oh, come on, Cox, don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that. No, but you see, this is symptomatic. It is not inconsequential. It probably is a microcosm for the whole damn project.
And you know, Richard, if I didn't answer all your questions, you know what you need to do?
What?
Please call Hart.
I want it. Come on. Thank you, Mr. Thank you very much for giving me the time and everything you've done for all of us.
Anytime. Call back in the next hour or whatever.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? I somehow unbuttoned the earlier caller. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Hi, Carol.
Yes, sir.
I'm here in Waipahu. I've been waiting for almost an hour for the bus. Well, I'm a consumer of the bus quite a bit, and I find this happens on a regular basis, and I have the suspicion is what they're doing, they're siphoning money out of the bus by not running a bus every way. It's unbelievable, those poor people that have to wait for the buses, working people that have to wait for these buses, and they don't come because they don't even put it on their schedule. And I call the bus people, and they say, well, we just had a problem, and we couldn't get a bus on. I said, wait a minute, this is a scheduled bus. This is what you do, you know? The suspicion is they're siphoning money from the bus. To the rail.
I'm told by a number of different people in different divisions or branches or agencies within the city government that Mayor Caldwell is purposely asking the directors and people under them to go to various meetings and wherever money is being sought. Even, for example, with increasing the monies for the lifeguards, the mayor, they don't want that money, right? They want money to be used as a slush fund for the rail. All of these things, all of our projects and all of our facilities, city parks and all of our buses and all.
You notice that the restrooms never really get fixed. The park restrooms and that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's always on the toilet paper. Let me tell you something. This makes me so sick. The Waipahu Transit thing. There's this restroom, and it reeks of urine and doo doo, and it never has toilet paper there, and it's so scummy. No one would want to go in there, and the toilet doesn't even have a door on it, and how disgusting.
Yeah,
they're not doing any kind of maintenance for it.
Right.
I asked the security guard, which is they pay for a security guard. I said, how come the restroom never has pay? Why come it's so terrible? They say, well, that's not our department. We contracted that
right.
out.
Well, City Parks has a great budget, but if you don't spend it, you can then shave it. Then other practices are don't fill positions.
Yeah,
positions are maybe one, two, three positions to have people replenishing papers and toilets and cleaning toilets and all.
Yeah,
you don't fill that position.
Finally, my bus has come after about an hour, so I got to hang up and go.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you next.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'll make call back.
All righty. Aloha. Thank you. Well, folks, we'll be back in the next hour here, and we'll chat some more. 524-1080. You can go to KWAI1080AM.com and listen to it online, stream live, or you can go to CarolCox.com and listen live stream or podcast. And for those of you that think that I'm off the hook and all, but I'm just sick and tired. In the crossroads, standing at the corner, you either hear people for it, against it, but then you look at the hundreds of people that are struggling to get to their second job or their third job and then to pay the taxes and all of that, and you meet senior citizens that are struggling. And we're here promoting and praising people that have already steered us down the path of bad behavior and high costs and high taxes. Something got to give. I mean, it's testing everything. It's testing our bank account. It's testing our tolerance. It's testing our patience. It's straining everything, and we don't have the ability, or there's no one out there that can bring this thing back together and say, no, we don't want it. What we have, yes, it's already up, but I would damn sure like to see it, because keep in mind, they don't even know how and who is going to operate it when it is built and how we're going to fund it. So all of these uncertainties just does not set well with me, and I'm not a genius, but I know a discomfort and a cost that an unnecessary is just not right. It's not in a democracy. We were hoodwinked. It's forced down our throat, but at some point we should have some mechanism in place or out there that can stop this, and it ain't Colleen Hanabusa. So we'll talk to you in the next hour.
On KWAI Honolulu.
Yeah.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, you can pick us up at KWAI 1080 AM if you're having a poor reception. Just go there and click on live on the computer and listen live, and you can get us streaming, and it's good quality. So for some of you that are on Kauai or Molokai or on the backside of Lanai, just go there and click on that. And, of course, carolcox.com. So anyway, I had started to talk about the Costco matter, and so what happened on the bottles, and this is... Again, I think it would interest all of you that have Costco membership, Costco cards. I've learned that since around August of last year, Costco was selling the Kirkland brand water and the pallets of water. And they, for somehow, it was not marked high five in the words, the letters H-I, 5 cents. It only and so that being the case, when you take them to have them redeemed or at a recycler, you will find that the recycler, in some instances, like myself, I went through the process and went to Mililani Mauka, and there is a facility called RRR, recycle, reuse, and what have you, their company, three R's, and. And I, unbeknownst to me, you don't know that these bottles are, so you put them in. We'd heard that there was some problems with the bottle bill and how monies, the state would get monies and could spend it and not have to be accountable for it. Well, in this case, you deliver your bottles, your plastic bottles, and immediately the person receiving it tell you, well, these bottles can't be recycled here. Because Costco did not mark high five. Even though Costco charges you per bottle, a nickel per bottle, the recycler will not pay you for those bottles. So you're basically stuck. So I suspect it's not Costco who's sticking it to the people, and it's not the recycler. We're going to call tomorrow and ask questions of the state and get to the bottom of it, but we understand that the state, when Costco or other merchants bring in bottles, they automatically pay the amount of money that is required to cover each for 5 cents. And so we suspect now, and I can't say for sure, but the state is actually... the beneficiary of this broken system. So you pay at the counter at Costco for that, those bottles, and you're charged a nickel each bottle, and in turn you go to recycle it. Unless it has high five on it, you will, even though they're the same bottles, you will not get a refund there. You'll have to take those bottles away or throw them in the trash. A solution for right now is that, and this is where, if you are a member of Costco, this is where it will pay for you to go back and I don't know, some of you may have bought one case and be about $2 and something. But if you bought substantial amounts, sports teams or whatever, you know, or business, you've paid for that nickel for that bottle. And so it could add up. Go back to Costco, tell them your membership number. They will check on the computer, and they track what you purchase anyway. They can tell from that, glean from those records, how many bottles or how many cases or what they owe you. And I received no resistance from Costco. They were quite cooperative, didn't offer any resistance. It was... let us check. They went into the computer, punched in my membership number, and in turn gave me a fee reduction, redemption. And just as an example now, and I didn't know this, but for mine, I received a $19.20. That's what I had coming back to me, and they refunded that. Now, I don't know if Costco is paying that now out of their pocket, and the state has already, if they've paid the state already in advance, then that suggests, and I got to be careful, I don't know the facts on this one yet, but it suggests that if it's true, the state has this money, knowing that this is a problem, and probably dictated that if it does not have high five, we won't accept it. And therefore, we get to keep the nickel, we being the state. And the state then has a slush fund at the taxpayer's expense. And again, that's my suspicion right now. I can't promise you that's exact, but I can tell you this. Some or all of us on the bottom line is getting screwed unless you go in and knock on the door at Costco and say, I want a refund because I tried to redeem these bottles. And so what happens is that apparently the bottles will end up being burnt at H-Power or dumped in the landfill. So is it accomplishing anything? I don't know, and we'll ask questions, and we'll see yet another state agency want to drag its feet in getting responses to us. But we'll ask questions soon. And if you have any problems and you have a computer, go to carolcox.com. We've put it up there so you know where to contact, what to do. And the number at the state health department that you might want to call is 586-4226. 586-4226. That is the solid and hazardous waste branch of the health department. And just tell them you want to speak to the person that oversees or manages the bottle bill. And hopefully we can get that taken care of. So if you have any questions or comments, call 524-1080. You can join in and offer your comments, and we'll go from there. But I don't know how we got to this point. I think that the bottle bill, there's a lot of things that are bad with it. And we're going to try and piece together a lot more information. And I redo it, revisit it, and do something. Because I think that I really think that it's that bad. And here's a Tina Quizon just sent me an email saying... recycling snafu, 1.2 million Kirkland water bottles mislabeled, Honolulu, Hawaii. And I don't know the full story, but this is something you might want to follow up on. This 1.2 million, that means 1.2 million 5 cents. And this one was done March 14th, 2016. I didn't see this article. State officials traced the problem back to October 2015. Well, that's funny. Costco traced it back with me till back in August. Costco brought in pallets of water to meet. This is KITV. I'm quoting them, reading from them. Brought in water to meet the demand for supplies during the close calls we had during last year's hurricane season. But customers across the state are just finding out those bottles are being rejected by recycling centers because they don't have the proper high-five labels. Quote, I hadn't heard of it. I'm not sure if I have any that come from Costco, said Debbie Snell, who dropped off two bags full of containers. Neither did another man who had two large garbage bins full of Kirkland bottles. He wasn't very happy to learn he would have to take them back where he bought them. So if you haven't redeemed them, and you don't have to actually take the bottles back. I don't think Costco wants the bottles back. But If you purchase any of the unlabeled containers, you can take it back to Costco. Or if you have a receipt, I believe their inventory can tell and verify it that way, and they will reimburse them for the 5 cents, said State Health Department Steve Chang. The state said it fined Costco $16,000 for improper labeling after it began seeing the containers on the neighbor islands last fall. So why wouldn't the state tell us about this? Why wasn't there a public press announcement? They tell us about everything else. So, quoting, 1.2 million containers were brought into the state. Costco chose not to pull them and continued selling them, so we cited them for the penalty. Now, this is when government just act dumb. All that is involved, ladies and gentlemen, it's the same bottle. The only thing different is that one has high five, and the other states that it's recycled, that allows this bottle to be recycled. In this instance, Costco didn't print high five on it. Same bottle, same size, everything. But the state, as manini as they are, decide to reject them and say that, no, go back and get your money at Costco. And when it's if it's the same bottle, then you would think they would be recycling it. But anyway, throughout the country, probably the world, the commodity for paper, plastic, aluminum, and scrap, this is the is seeing a dramatic drop. So the recycling industry is hurting pretty bad right now. I would say I would attribute half of the recycle business hurting real bad is the poor management by the state health department in this state. A world of hurt means fewer jobs, longer waits, and shorter hours, Chang said in 24 centers shut down since last October. Now, is this about these bottles, this one incident brings on this devastation to the recycling industry? No. Talking about world commodities, this is a flub on the part of the state who learned this a year before, apparently, according to this article, and did nothing. But fine them. And that is the epitome of state and city government. They don't see fixing things and informing and getting things better, flowing better. They see it as a means of taxing and sucking so that they can have more money to squander and waste. And still yet, what happens to the bottles at the end of the day? That one that you can't recycle. So, it is, meanwhile, the state is making it easier for residents to locate recycling centers. Really. So, 20 of you just told us several are closing, up to 20 or so were closing. And you're now going to help us get to know where the rest are or what have you. And these, it's just, I don't know. Reynolds Recycling, one of the larger companies, cut 19 centers and laid off more than 40 workers. Is this having anything to do with Costco having its bottles not marked? I don't think so. So, anyway, but do contact Costco, and I don't know if any of you saw this or if you watch KITV, then you would have been informed. But I would go back and ask for my refunds. And I would ask the state. And we're still going to, tomorrow we'll contact Mr. Chang and try and find out what is going on with that. So, and we're going to go back and digress a bit on this. I'm going to take a little break here, and we'll put you back with some prints. And it's so unfortunate that he passed. It is what it is, but it still leaves a sad moment, and you feel sorry for these guys. You know they can't live forever, but boy, the creativity and all the music and all the good performances that he have done and could have been doing in the future. So we'll miss them all, but sure glad they left us some darn good music. Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Mr. Prince, I get delirious. Anyway, that's just good music. And backing here on the topic of just moving around in fragments, I want to share with you the when you look at the subject of border water supply and the 42-inch main and heart and what they knew and don't know and what they should have known and how they, we got to keep in mind that still yet, even though it's semi-autonomous, the border water supply, it's still pretty much a city agency, and the mayor has control and some say over matters there, and so does the city council, and they vote and elect and appoint board members. So it's not, basically they're not unique in that they're completely separate. They're one and the same in a sense. So I want to, let me share with you in a day's work of just getting information. And some of you call up and you'll say, well, the media is this. And there is an active effort, and conscientiously, other radio shows, the media, the unwillingness, they're willing to do a story, but they burden themselves with and make it their business to avoid giving credit to the person that, quote, breaks the story. So in this situation with the 42-inch main, now KGMB gave credit to me for uncovering the story, and as you listeners know that we've already talked about it a week ago and some time. But there are others that are actively, they talk about the topic but refuse to say, Hawaii News Now inform us, right? And so I offer that to as a segue to show you that when you and I see something that's considered news, we don't know the process and what is being snipped and cut into packets to serve up to us and how many people they've stepped on or how they're shaping the story. So I wrote the initial questions to the Board of Water Supply asking for information on a Monday, I think. I did not receive even an acknowledgement that they had received my questions. But now I'm aware that KGMB sent some questions, and they immediately wrote back to KGMB and said, oh, well, we'll thank you for your letter, and we're on it right now. We're looking into it, and we're going to try to get your answers. But for me, no response. So I'm having to call the agency, Board of Water Supply, and say, could you please confirm that you received my questions? See the difference? And, I don't know. Let me check, okay? I see right here we did receive them, and you need to send them to this email address. Okay, why do I have to take that extra step? Well, send it to contact at BoardOfWaterSupplyHawaii.gov, Honolulu.gov, whatever their address is. So I do that. And I wait, and I wait, and I don't get anything. Then I learn that the TV station has received their answers, and yet I don't receive any answers. So now I'm having to call back them and say, well, gee, I don't have the facts in hand. I don't have the documentation. But I'm aware that through conversation that you've answered their questions. And yet, and I understand that in comparing notes, that I sent you my questions first. Well, you know, we're not trying to slight you. No, you're not trying to slight me. You're trying to thwart the public from learning about the sneaky ways and all the underhanded behavior and the activities that goes on that is not good for the public and the taxpayer. That's what you're doing. I don't take this personal. But What difference does it make if I have 1,000 or 10,000 listeners, or the TV station has 80,000 listeners? If I write you, then I should be receiving a courteous response and a timely response, treating my request equal to that of the, quote, big media. So, finally, I then say, well, if you have, in fact, sent them questions or answers, then you, at a minimum, should be sending me my answers. Well, but, see, you asked more questions than they did. Oh, really? Okay, well, why don't you do this? Some of my questions, I understand, were similar to theirs, so why don't you provide those answers to me, the equal to what you've already sent them? So they, in turn, did, and aloha, Mr. Cox. We apologize that it has taken a while, us a while, to respond to your inquiry. Here's the response that we sent to Hawaii News Now. Quote, the Board of Water Supply has conducted several rounds of construction plans review for the Dillingham Boulevard segment of the rail project, but has not yet approved any plans. Through this process, the Board of Water Supply continues to work with HART to create construction plans that, one, minimize impacts on our water system, two, meet Board of Water Supply standards, three, enable the Board of Water Supply to continue to adequately maintain and repair our water systems. The most recent plans reviewed by the Board of Water Supply indicate the need to relocate portions of the transmission main, but the scope of that work, as well as the construction of the bypass, will depend on the final location of the rail system's support structures, which is still under design. HART is responsible for any studies, work, impacts on the community, costs associated with relocating Board of Water Supply lines as required for rail construction, end quote. Now, that sounds like a pretty good decent thing, but this is, I get these answers after the fact. So the news story is done, and then I get a call the next, that late that evening, on the Thursday, saying, we can't release the answers to you because Ernest Lau taken sick, and he's gone home for the day, and share with you, if you hear frustration in my voice, it is, the frustration is when we compliment these people, and time again, as individuals, we get jerked around. But if you're rolling with the pack or have a little perceived power, then you are some force to be reckoned with. But if you're just an individual, the Carol Cox Show, well, that's a different subject. You don't have any rights. You're not a taxpayer. You're not a citizen. You don't. The law of transparency does not apply to you. We can exempt you from it. But when an entity calls, we move our asses or assets or whatever. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're like a target. You know, when you, especially when you call these people that you talked to before, they're probably going, oh, it's this guy again. You know, what is he trying to prove? I mean, where does he think he's going to get, you know, and take this to, you know? But I really appreciate your fortitude and your dedication to, you know, finding the truth of what the hell is going on here, you know, with this rail thing, man. We're all going to have to pay. I can't understand why people don't see what kind of hole that we've got ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
And this Hanabusa girl, she's just a retread going back around. Now she's a good guy. Come on. Who's fooling who with that one? You know? She's been a backroom lady for how long already? And now she's coming out, oh, I'm going to change my stripes. Now they go black and now they're blue. Pretty soon they're going to be red, white, and blue. Oh, I saved the blue. And I can't understand how these people are going, oh, if she pulls this off, she can run for governor. Now, what kind of mentality is that? You know, she gets paid for doing what? Doing her job?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It just makes me sick to my stomach, man, these politicians. They keep getting away with it. And how in the hell can these, and the people keep voting for them. That's the problem. That is our main problem. We keep getting bamboozled to vote for people that aren't for the public.
Yeah. You know? It's the arrogance that you pointed out, but it's a form of a hybridization of arrogance and just thuggery. You know, being arrogant is how, well, when the public asks, well, you know, we had a promise that it would be $3 million, and I know, but we got some other things, and we have cost overruns. Well, how did you have cost overruns when you assured us you hired this guy to oversee it to make sure we didn't have cost overruns?
At least stop it in half before it got ballooned way the hell up. You know
right.
what I mean? That's what it keeps ballooning. You mean like somebody in there in the back room is
Wait, can you do that again? That's good sound effects. Go ahead. Blowing hot air.
It's a balloon, man, that I can't stop these people from, you know, blowing up on me. Because I'm going to pay for this with my taxes. I pay taxes. State taxes, federal taxes. Not federal, but state taxes I do pay. I don't have to pay federal. But the state taxes, they not really do, because last year they gave me $120 back. My tax man made that work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just the bottom line. We are putting the money in, even if I don't pay for it now, they're using my money until they pay me back. You know what I mean?
Right. All of the properties we own, we are funding, and they're using our properties as collateral.
Yeah, collateral, right.
Because they're saying we can tax those houses, or we can raise the price up on the cars and the weight and all. Everything we own belongs to them in a hook and crookery way.
Yeah, and that's the way it feels. Like you're saying, oh, this is ours, and we can use it and manipulate it as much as we want and squeeze it for every cent that we can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this Hanna Booster lady, I want to get back to that, because she shouldn't be there, and she's got no right to be anything but down the road as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not mistaken, who was it that they say that Dan Inouye said should have the job as senator?
Did he actually...
There was a letter on his deathbed or something. Something. I don't want to misspeak, because I felt the whole thing was nonsense, and when it comes to nonsense, I try not to give it prominence and assign a place in within clutter, but vaguely I remember it was, I think it was a, because Abercrombie defied that and then named Schatz, right?
Yeah, right.
So imagine that. I mean, what's so special about Colleen Hanabusa?
You got me, man. I just don't understand the allure of that woman, how she even gets, she got smashed by Charlotte, some guys just came out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and she was, So there is a resentment for that woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She would have been a senator.
She's an attorney, and I can't take that away from her. But I just don't like privileged people that in our matters, and we're sinking, the ship's sinking, and she's saying, well, I'm going to do it. Well, you have any knowledge of ships? No. Mm-hmm. You have any knowledge of rowing boats? No. So,
just gave her a lifeboat.
Yeah,
she ain't going to get one or two people on there. The rest of us are going to drown.
What's her expertise in it, as a congresswoman? I mean, well, we know that Congress didn't do anything, so she can't blame and claim that, right? So I'm trying to think that where is she drawing from her management skills?
I wish somebody that supported her would call up and tell us, because I would love to hear what she's done for the public. I would love to hear, her beautiful, bright future of being whoever she wants to be. She couldn't be senator. And now what's her next shot? Oh, governor. If somebody's an inside job, they'll give her this job to, tear down something a little tiny bit to give her enough credibility to run again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of, why they would give her any, leadership role to solve a problem.
Yeah, you know how ironic she says recently talked about transparency, and then what's she noted for when she came back? Let's sequester the city council matter and behind closed doors with the ethics commission, and we'll resolve with heart.
If she wanted to be truthful, all them hearings would have been out in the open.
Yeah.
Public attention, public attendance. Come, please, come.
And demanding, unless it's critical, unless we're talking about picking a name for each member's child, newborn child, these matters will be public from here on out.
Yeah.
No executive sessions that would, don't commingle them and using it as an excuse. We don't see any of that. Do we see a declaration from her? Look, I'm Colleen Hanabusa. I got old ways that you're familiar with, but I found a baptismal pool on the way here, and I'm clean now. I'm going to be straight with you. You haven't heard that declaration. You haven't heard anything.
I definitely went up to the altar and bowed down and said, I will be
right. Right. And I gave up my apartment building where I got a good discount over there at Jeff Stone's place there, you know. And I'm cleansing myself of all of that. I'm one of you now, period.
Well, that's so interesting. You don't even mention that. That's such a scandal that went on over there.
Yeah.
And the way they treated the public. You know, at the beginning, remember they had all these signs? They barricaded the parking lot and wouldn't let the people launch the boat.
Right.
What kind of neighbor is that? That's an enemy. That ain't a neighbor.
Yeah, well, yeah, she, speaking of barricading boats, remember now, part of the management plan and agreement to rezone that Coalina was to allow the public have parking and a boat launch ramp and all. They bust a boat ramp up, and here she is still tight with Jeff Stone. You know, so
tied to the dictator that could say, well, I will not allow the public to be on my property. Now,
right.
Who is that kind of developer?
After you get they didn't make the agreement with him. It was the predecessor, the owner that had a rezone that got placed those covenants in the agreement, building a school, having a fire station, dedicating the streets within Colina to the city. Well, I don't know if any of that has been done. I haven't seen the school and I haven't seen the fire station.
Yeah, so he's the biggest liar in the boat. Now, why can't somebody with some... Man, if I was a millionaire boy, I'd be jumping in there and I'd make him abide by what they said or whatever they wrote down. If there's an agreement that we can look at and bring it into the court, man, I go to the Supreme Court with that one because they're denying the public their rights.
And that's an agreement, and it's already, I filed a complaint, and it was ruled in my favor, and all. Art Oppo worked for the system, and we challenged that, and they were required. But so, if Colleen Hanabusa was so interested in, why is it everything that she's been with the public, it was their resources at first, and then...
Yeah,
from their hands, she
like a double deal. Oh,
she stood by.
You, but it won't happen.
Right.
Yeah, it's ugly. I tell you, that woman ought to be put up on the thing in disgrace.
Yeah.
For her lies and deceit and all of her mispromises. She said this, that, and the other. Now she wants to be somebody who's going to be a governor. She's a crazy woman.
Did you notice any, hopefully I didn't miss it, but did they put out a list of, a short list of people that they were going to recruit or review or interview regarding this position, or she just somehow got appointed?
Yeah, she just got appointed. This was probably in the works long before that, bro. You know what I mean? So they might have a big short list, like, she's controllable, he's controllable. She's more controllable. He's more. That's, you know what I mean? That's the way they look at it. Like, oh, how much can we control him?
But look how they do one another. You think they care for the public? I don't. We see that they don't. But look what they do to one another. I mean, Don Horner. They threw him to the dogs just like that. Bang.
You got the wolves among the wolves. You know what I mean? he's gonna go for the throat.
Grabowskis get great ratings and bonuses and all, and then all of a sudden, boom! He should be. You understand? Yeah. But look at the people that are involved. Kurt Caldwell, right?
I think it's basic human thing: jealousy and power plays and stuff like that. That's how their circle runs in
and
jealousy, power play, and who's gonna come out on the top of all the dogs down below.
And the arrogance and
I
would say it wouldn't be a problem if they could behave in a fashion that it wouldn't impact the taxpayer and the ratepayers for the water companies and all those things. I would say have at it, eat one another for lunch. It's not a problem. But at the end of the day, where the disgust is that we have to pay.
What do you mean? The bottom line is we're going to pay for all the shenanigans that these guys have been pulling off on us.
Yeah, let me, speaking of shenanigans, I thought about you. I was going to try and, well, I figured you would call in, and I want to ask you a question. You know, you're a farmer, and unlike the heart people, they deal in dirt. You deal in dirt, but you raise something. You produce something. So
yeah, I do produce things that people can eat and enjoy and think about them tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Right. Good lunch. What are you having tomorrow for breakfast? Papaya grown right here. But
papaya, taro, my fresh eggs, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Mangoes, my avocados, my light cheese, you know what I mean?
Keep going. Already?
The garden. I got my broccoli. I got my cucumbers out here. I got tomatoes over there. I got, you know, my taro is my main crop. You know what I mean? I'm growing tuberosity that the university had created.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, there's some weird people here.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is this, that, or the other. We won't take it. But the taro that the university created, let me give you some facts and some real figures. Okay, the fact is, you go over to Kauai, where they plant taro for poi, right?
Right.
All right, but they're locked into all that land over there, and they grow one variety that is a good variety that the Hawaiians have made that made good poi. All right, but the university went and said, well, let's go investigate and see if we can increase on this. So they went to a place called Palau. You know Palau is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The island of Palau.
Right, Palau, yeah.
Okay, they grow taro over there, you know, in the South Pacific and everywhere over there, they grow taro. Okay, but so they took the number one taro that they make poi with here in Hawaii, which is Lehua. Okay, that's the name of, that's the variety. Okay, that's the number one that they make real good poi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they took that as a female, and they mated it with one plant over there in Palau. All right, it's a taro plant, but it makes funny little runners. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
This is an octopus. You know what I mean? So it has detrimental, you know, characteristics. So, but they give us not just one variety from these all over the South Pacific. They,
right.
They eliminated, so they got to this one type, all right, and they crossed different things. Then he went down to 29. Then he went down to 17. Then he went down to three different varieties that they named. Palehua. Everything they sort of named after the mother.
Right.
Pa'akia. The last one, that's the one I grow, is Palehua, Pa'akia, and Pa'akala.
Uh-huh.
Kala means money, right?
Money, the green.
So this taro that they grow, the one, the Pa'akala, in 1 acre, you give your wildest imagination how much taro could be produced on 1 acre of land by this variety, our university created. Not Joe Blow down the road. The University of Hawaii created this plant. Just take just an astronomical guess. So 1 acre of land, which is 45, you know, 1,000 square feet, what do you think it was? The poundage.
I don't have a clue.
Just take a wild guess. You know, you got to go in tons now.
Okay, 4 ton, 5 ton?
Ooh, man. That's what the Hawaiian stuff does. This tail, and it gets, and they get a, they cross all these things for a reason. They didn't get a disease. On the leaves, you see, catches the disease and leaves it and reduces your crop yield. Okay, so when they made the cross and it went through all the problems, and they led the three different varieties, remember, of the one that they made the cross from, the Pa'akala produces like 80 to 90,000 pounds per 1 acre.
Really?
Friend, 1 acre of a crop. There is nothing that I can think of, and I'm a bit of farmer for 50 years. There ain't nothing even come close to that, bro.
Wow, steroid, taro on steroid. So,
I got pictures of my biggest one so far is 13 pounds and 9 ounces.
Okay.
One taro, 13 pounds. I show it to these people that are up my valley. They go, oh, your taro, sweet food. I grow all three varieties.
Send me an email and let's do some filming on that. I would like to interview you for my show on Olelo. Do that if you would.
Yeah,
send me an email.
That would really be cool, you know, we can get out the message. Because when I talk to these farmers, they're so stuck in the old ways, and, you know, there's manner. They're ignorant. They're like, man, you want to make money, or you just want to, you know, be with somebody that's, you know, stupid. I try to, when he comes down the road, because I live in the valley, and these other guys in Brooksville, I run out in the road, and I give them the big one, like, hey, cook this up. And then the people, you know, some of the people leave, they come down the road, and they go, oh, man, you're terrible. Good, it's sweet, man. It's solid, no fiber, it's good. You know what I mean? The product is, the university made something. I just wish the people would wake up. You know, we could have toy out there for, you know, $4 or $5 a bag.
Right.
You could get it out there for $1.50 back then. The real Hawaiians could eat poi again. You know
right.
what I mean?
So let me stop you there. What I want to ask you, there's this group of people that are saying that the state should buy land for agriculture purposes. Like two chefs, I think, Alan Wong and Roy Yamaguchi and the other guy that has Nalo Farms. My concern is that buying land, if the state buys land, I think this is up at Pomoho in that area on this island, that sounds good, but it's what I'm learning. It seems that there's a certain group of people only that has control.
You gotta let them. There's always a deal.
I'll get the land for you.
I'll give it to you cheap, and you can. The little teeny guy ain't got a prayer in the world.
And they talk about food security, food safety. How about guaranteeing buy the land, but you don't get to control it? Little farmers, small guys that will want to use an acre or 2 acres or 3 acres.
Maybe 4 or 5. You want to get a real 1 acre, that's a real small farm. But 5 acres, you can produce a lot on it. And if they got 1,000 acres, you got 250 farmers.
Yeah, but the problem is, it seems to be there's this clique of people that are now, and the Soils Bureau and all those good, I don't trust anything any of them say now, because it seems they want to force out, as we saw in Turtle Bay area, due to conservation needs, and the very people that were over there pushing it and trying to kick them out end up with some of the land. So my concern is that if we buy, the state buys land, then these guys using their power and in the clique, they get to have access to the land and dictate who can, who can't. I don't think that's right, and I'm concerned that the state would buy the land and then end up harming smaller farmers. 5 acres, 10 acres, but you still got to get your name on the list and be in the crowd or be in the clique to get it, the way things operate.
Oh, yeah, and the list is definitely controlled by somebody that you don't know.
Right.
Excuse me. And there's always... just for that, you know, I can understand part of the deal. But, you know, like I say, I'm a farmer, and it takes a certain amount of land to make it worthwhile, and you know, because if you're going to pass it on to your family and stuff like that, you got to think of the future with the farmer. Because the farmer is just not a deal. He's there for the land to make it healthy, to pass it on to the next farmer that makes it more healthy, more productive, uses more, you know, technology. You know, because that's what farming is nowadays. It's, you know,
right.
What is the newest crop, you know, and profit margins and other. There's a whole bunch of little things that build a huge block that makes a good farmer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So
we got the land here, we got the climate, we got the water.
But we want access for all of the farmers, not just a special group and these big name of guys, and then it waiting in the back room is yet another deal to squander the regular farmers, small farmers access.
And it's the crops that they export.
Right.
I mean, there's very few exporters. We want all the local produce that can be sold here on the island. You know,
right.
So that just adds money on top of that money, because they got to ship it out of here, this, that, and the other. There should be a whole bunch. There could be 50 nations worth.
Right.
State does buy some land, and if they do the right rules and regulations for the farmers that come in there and they keep to them, it could be a success. But
right.
Like you said, too many backroom deals, they're going to grow coffee. They're going to grow more pineapple, this, that, or the other. Where are they going to grow? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it creates a welfare for this special needs group, and then ignore the really needed group, the people needing a place to farm that can farm, and small family farms. And I'm just worried that if we were to buy this land, the people that are advocating for it publicly, they're using their big names. But I'm concerned that the ethics and the integrity of delving it out or giving access to everyone equally is not there, and yeah, so that's my concern.
It's not going to be there, and you know, the longer we wait on that, the more people that you wanted to do that will just give up.
Yeah.
You know, I can't keep 5 years.
Well, let's take the subject up later. I'm going to be down at the last minute, but you can send me an email, the carol@carolcox.com, or give me a call at 782-6627, 782-6627, and let's talk.
I will be in touch.
All righty. All righty. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Aloha.
Aloha to you.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll talk to you next week. And thank you for listening in.
Are you so arrogant?
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.